dodges. I ride in this wind on my good horse.
The events in Wall Street and elsewhere have so increased the cries for equality that no city or state or legislative body can prudently choose to ignore them. The fires of frustration and discord are burning in every city, north and south, where legal remedies are not at hand. Redress is sought in the streets, in demonstrations, parades, and protests, which create tensions and threaten violence and threaten lives. We face, therefore, a moral crisis as a country and a people. It cannot be met by repressive police action. It cannot be left to increase demonstrations in the streets. It cannot be quieted by token moves or talk. It is a time to act in the Congress, in your state, and local legislative body, and above all, in all of our daily lives. It is not enough to pin the blame on others, to say this is a problem of one section of the country or another, or deplore the facts that we face. A great change is at hand, and our task, our obligation, is to make that revolution, that change, peaceful and constructive for all. Those who do nothing are inviting shame as well as violence. Those who act boldly are recognizing right as well as reality.
You're listening to episode 574 of Unwelcome Guests, Occupy Wall Street Special. I'm Robin Upton, and you've just heard a section from a former US president speaking, "I Changed Birmingham into Wall Street," but the rest is unedited, as broadcast to the American people in 1963. The complete reworked speech is at the end of our second hour today. Compare and contrast Obama's perfunctory comments about Occupy Wall Street, which we'll hear in a few minutes, grudgingly admitting that not everybody has been following the rules, as if that was all that was needed. Nowhere an admission that the rules are anything less than perfect, never mind talk of throwing the existing rulebook away. This week's show is a mashup of a lot of audio and videos, which are available from our webpage at unwelcomeguest.net/574, and that's also the address if you want to join in the discussion about this episode.
A loosely organized protest movement has found itself occupying Wall Street for the last 6 days, starting on September 17th. Although you probably have not heard about it through our national media, it is a real phenomena with real people. The fact that the media has not commented on it only tells you that this is another hidden history. I visited them on Monday in Zuccotti Park, redubbed Liberty Park, in New York City, just above Wall Street. And here are some of the things they had to say.
Essentially, Wall Street's a symbol, right? I mean, this place isn't where all the evil starts and ends. But we're trying to send a message that, you know, the American people have had enough. You know, there's nine, like these guys are saying earlier, you know, the top 1% has 75% of the wealth. So where are you from?
Oakland, California.
Oakland, California, that's quite a drive. You drive or you hitchhike?
We bought one-way tickets and quit our jobs.
Wow, no kidding?
No kidding.
So what's your prognosis?
Well, it's really early to tell, but we've been hearing from people who came out here from Spain. Some people have flown out here from Madrid, and they said we've got a better, more organized start than they did, so I'm feeling optimistic.
Are you concerned about pension funds? No, not really, because I'm very sure I will never have a pension. Although these guys in blue here that have been so kind to guide us around and be nice to us for the most part, they're getting screwed too.
Initially, their numbers hovered near 20,000 on Saturday. By the time I talked with them on Monday, those numbers had diminished considerably. And yet, they remain optimistic, and they seemed sincere and obstinate in their belief that their steadfast refusal to leave Liberty Park could change the world. This is Jack R. Johnson for Hidden Histories.
They hope that we won't notice that they're taking away our right to peaceably gather, our right of speech and press, our right to be here. They'll shut down public space, but they don't know what shape our Tahrir Square will take!
From the steps of the Custom House, Reverend Billy of the Church of Life After Shopping exhorted the crowd to join the global revolution that is sweeping the town squares of Europe and the Middle East. With the decline of the U.S. economy, middle-class youth is growing anxious about its future.
If you're unemployed, one of those people waiting for corporations to work their magic and give you a job, you'll be waiting forever. Don't wait for them. Come to Wall Street and take the money back from them.
Denied access to Wall Street by the police lockdown, the crowd, which by then numbered well over 1,000, marched up Broadway to occupy Zuccotti Park, near the World Trade Center.
Hey! Oh, ho! Corporate greed has got to go! Hey! Oh, ho! Corporate greed has got to go! Hey! Oh, ho!
Surrounded by police, the protesters settled in the privately owned park for a general assembly, a concept taken from participatory democracy. Speakers, some with bullhorns, addressed small groups on political and organizing issues.
Today, Obama has cut programs of social uplift, education, programs for seniors, social security, but yet he had the audacity to approve a $700 billion budget for the military. This $700 billion is not being used for the people. It is being used to bring slaughter and terror to nations around the globe. And it is being done under a false pretense.
Some brought up the problems of their own communities.
More undocumented people are being deported under Obama than under Bush. So please remember that we need to bring this issue at the forefront of our struggle. In addition to the other struggles of education, neoliberalization, let's remember that the immigrants are at the front lines.
Others were petitioning to adopt the cause of Troy Davis, who is scheduled to be executed by the state of Georgia this Tuesday.
I propose that we adopt Troy Davis and his struggle at this assembly today and call for Georgia to stop the execution and free Troy Davis.
Yeah!
Stop the right!
Stop the right! Stop the right! Stop the right!
Not all participants were radical leftists. Dressed in white robes, 10 self-appointed chaplains were there to register their religious objections.
Christianity is supposed to be a radical outspokenness on behalf of those who are marginalized. And I, for one, am really appalled by how Christianity has been twisted to serve the agenda that separates the wealthy from the poor and makes them richer. And
for me, the idea that some people can have too much and really oppress other people through that is a Christian message.
Around 300 camped in the park last night, and live-stream internet video around midday showed preparations for a non-violent shutdown of the Wall Street Stock Exchange on Monday. For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson, and this is Hidden Histories. One of the most surprising things thus far about the current occupation of Wall Street is the painfully obvious attempt by the major media to pretend that there are not thousands of protesters in the heart of the financial district of America being maced and arrested in mass. Indeed, the denial of real events is one of the prerequisites for attaining that most powerful publishing position in the world, editor of the New York Times. In fact, as long ago as 1880, this is what the former chief editorial writer of the New York Times, John Swinton, had to say at a banquet held in his honor nearing the end of his career. Quote, "There is no such thing at this date of the world's history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and if any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press?
We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Unquote. Many things have changed in the publishing world since 1880, of course, but in none of the respects just mentioned.
The rest of us can fight over one to survive. 1% stay rich, that's what we have in the system. They say nothing's free, cause we in capitalism. Judged by GDPs and Wall Street salaries, but not far from last if you ask about morality. The rich stay rich, paying out poverty wages, and socialism's what the
fear is a potent force. I mean, culturally, the systems of power have worked overtime since 9/11. I mean, to make us afraid, both through the media and through Orange Alerts and Homeland Security. And I think the way to overcome fear is to break the kind of atomization or isolation that is inherent within American society. That when you're, for instance, sitting in a park like this with a group, or, you know, when I go down to Washington with Veterans for Peace, there is a kind of communal, even religious quality to those kinds of protests that are deeply empowering. It's that ability to endure situations that are frightening and know that there's somebody standing next to you. And that's why, again, acts of civil disobedience are so important, because it is the solidarity of the group and the empathy towards you as a dissident within the group that gives you power. Even if you don't get arrested, I find that these kinds of protests are deeply empowering because they make us recognize that we're not alone, and that they allow us to glimpse the kind of power that I think if we build a sustained movement, we can have, a power that clearly, clearly threatens a corrupt elite.
I'm working for the revolution. The marches, oh my gosh, I mean, chills and invigoration and standing side by side by your fellow humans fighting for a cause together.
This is my fourth night. I have a kind of a roommate kind of, but like I think just the atmosphere of what's happening here is just something to be relished.
Well, people are really awesome. People from California all the way straight through to Vermont. It's astonishing. You know, you have kids here, you have 75-year-old retirees. You know, it's everyone. I've been here since 12 o'clock last night. I intend to stay for 30 hours since I have class 12 o'clock tomorrow. So there's nowhere else in the world that I'd rather be right now. And it really is difficult to say that most times during your life.
I'm with the medic crew here at Occupy Wall Street. I've treated some basic things, cut fingers, coughs and colds. In the past couple of days, the temperature has dropped and we've had a couple of people who are hypothermic. Well, medicine has been a passion of mine for about 6 years. It's been something that I've studied a lot. I personally am recklessly uncertified, but moderately knowledgeable and also always learning.
The community we've built inside of a concrete jungle of greed and evil has somehow created this beautiful,
loving community.
That's magic. Like,
No one knows
each other.
We've all met here.
We came from Canada. We didn't know anyone. Like, we saw a YouTube video and jumped on it. This is the most important thing I could ever dream of being part of, and I feel so blessed to, like, be part of this.
Yeah.
This is history.
No, this is the present. It's a gift. It's not history yet. We gotta be patient.
We will go over.
We will go over.
During
General Assembly.
Please put your finger in the air.
You'll
be given a chance to speak.
I'm concerned
that our general agenda.
That our general agenda
usually takes quite some time. The working groups. Have quite a few important things to get across.
All day, all week, occupy Wall Street. All day, all week, occupy Wall Street. All day, all week.
Okay.
means you're actually committed enough. You know, you really care enough about what we're doing here, to sleep in the rain. And we do. They can make it snow. We're not going anywhere.
Suppose we're not allowed to have open flames, but yet we can smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
This is why I hate the government. They can tell us what we can and cannot do. Donald thinks it's right because of people just like me and you. That's why I decided 7 days ago to roll free cigarettes for everybody. Would you like a menthol or regular?
Regular, here you go.
But the people don't accept defeat. The word you need to know is occupation.
The very protests that kicked off in New York 3 weeks ago have now grown into a nationwide rally engulfing a growing number of U.S. cities every day. Demonstrators inspired by the Arab Spring demand an end to social inequality and corporate greed. And as their calls for a revolution get louder, the authorities and media are finding them harder to ignore. RT's Marina Portnaya reports.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
The collective voices of American dissent has manifested into a movement impossible to ignore. Occupy Wall Street began in the world's financial capital, but this week, protests have blazed through dozens of cities nationwide. In the Big Apple, up to 15,000 Americans flooded Lower Manhattan. Labor unions, transport workers, teachers, nurses, and U.S. veterans standing shoulder to shoulder with young activists, spearheading a fight against U.S. wealth inequality and corporate greed.
Young people right now have no hope in our society, and I just want to see a fairer and more just society for the young people coming up and all of the Americans that right now are suffering through these hard economic times.
This seems pretty revolutionary to me, and the spirit of revolution is here, and so I need to be a part of it.
Once you are not afraid to be arrested anymore, the whole entire control of the police state disappears. And when that happens, there are incredible possibilities that are open to us, and suddenly you can imagine a different world, and you believe you can be an agent of change.
The Occupy movement has gained such momentum, even the president who promised change was forced to address the issue.
I think people are frustrated, and you know, the protesters are giving voice to a more broad-based frustration about how our financial system works. The American people understand that not everybody's been following the rules, that Wall Street is an example of that. These days, a lot of folks who are doing the right thing aren't rewarded, and a lot of folks who aren't doing the right thing are rewarded.
While the U.S. has encouraged and supported democratic uprisings in the Arab world, the same events playing out at home have been met with batons, pepper spray, and the arrests of nearly 800 peaceful protesters on the Brooklyn Bridge, a scene that reminded some of Egypt's Tahrir Square.
We can follow the lead of our brothers and sisters all over the world in the Arab Spring in Greece, in Spain. We can see that it did send a powerful message. Ordinary people are not going to stand for corporate greed anymore, and that we're getting up and we're doing something about it.
3 weeks into the anti-Wall Street demonstrations, the New York City Police Department has pumped $2 million into overtime pay, funds some critics say are being used to repress freedom. Grievances spearheaded so loud and large that mainstream media outlets have been left with no other choice but to cover the protests.
In a matter of weeks, Occupy Wall Street has not only mobilized international attention, many believe this ongoing event could become a turning point in the U.S., where a mass movement goads American politicians into working for the majority of the people.
We
Reno. The air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone.
Well, I heard about Occupy Wall Street when Adbusters first put out the ad, and I had several friends who were attending the General Assemblies leading up to it, and unfortunately I was out of town on September 17th, the first day, but as soon as I came back 3 days later, I attended the General Assembly, and I've been going back almost every day since. I slept out there one night. The park is almost at capacity right now in terms of sleeping space, so I haven't been sleeping out there as much, but I've been attending the General Assemblies, attending the marches. I was arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge last Saturday, and I am extremely excited and inspired by what's happening out there.
Tell us about the camp structure. As you just mentioned, the park itself is almost at capacity for sleeping spaces, and there are many people that are staying continuously. How are things like the practicalities of occupying the space being handled?
Well, right now we have a number of working groups that are completely open to anyone who wants to join and operate in an autonomous, non-hierarchical way. Everything from outreach to media to food security to direct action to sanitation to comfort to medical. And we make our decisions in the General Assembly, and we have two every day where we decide by consensus different things. We also have a camp meeting that happens every morning where people who have been staying out every night at the camp make decisions regarding logistical things in terms of maintaining the living space.
So a lot of direct democracy happening, it sounds like.
Yeah, and it's significant in that it's standing by itself as a meta-alternative to the hierarchy and authoritarian systems that we're protesting on Wall Street. And we're sort of creating our own alternative on the ground that is representative of the society that we're fighting for and that we want to live in and be a part of.
That's really interesting, and it kind of leads into my next question, which is about the political dialogue that's happening either between people involved in the protests and people that are coming upon it, and also within the camp itself. What kinds of things are being discussed politically? I mean, besides the actions that you're taking, what are people actually talking about?
Well, I think the most significant thing is the role of financial capital and the banks in terms of all the grievances and systems of oppression that a lot of us have been experiencing throughout our entire lives, everything from cuts to public services, to the wars, to our student debts, to not being able to find jobs, people losing their homes. And the reason that we're at Wall Street is we see financial capital and capitalism as the root of all these issues, and especially through the financial crisis that we've been experiencing, and we've been seeing more and more foreclosures and people losing their jobs at the same time. These CEOs and corporations are making huge sums of money, getting huge bonuses, making huge profits, and it's a direct, massive transfer of wealth from the middle class and the poor directly to the top 1%, and we have, you know, 400 people that own more than half of the wealth in the United States. We took over Zuccotti Park and we renamed it Liberty Square, and a lot of people have also been talking about the movements in the Middle East and Arab Spring, and this is definitely inspired by what they did over there. And we haven't obviously gotten anywhere as close to achieving what they achieved, but there definitely is that spirit in the air, and there were a lot of people in the United States watching as those movements were happening and cheering them on, And I think it inspired people to think that we can come together and organize and reclaim a space and use that space as a sort of center to not only envision and test out alternative forms of living with each other, but to also have as a space of power where we can organize direct action and civil disobedience and directly challenge those who hold all the power in their hands.
How about the links with Europe, for example? You were mentioning the Arab Spring, but there seems to be a lot of similarities with what's happening in Europe in terms of financial institutions defaulting and then the government cutting public spending. And so is there any sort of discussion and parallels being drawn between the U.S. and other parts of the industrialized North in Europe?
Definitely. People are very inspired by what recently happened in Spain, in Greece, the student demonstrations in London, and March on Wednesday, we had the biggest march on Wall Street that I've seen in years, with all the unions and student walkouts that came out to support Occupy Wall Street. And there was one beautiful banner there that said, Arab Spring, European Summer, American Fall, ... And I definitely think that that times of revolution and times of uprising oftentimes don't just happen in one location, but they often happen globally because everybody, especially in this day and age where we can watch live on our computers what's happening on the other side of the world, I think that people are inspired by the different social movements and uprisings that are happening everywhere. And I think it's showing us people who might have been disillusioned or people who might felt hopeless that they couldn't change anything, that we do have agency. And when we come together, we are the 99%. And the people who are in control right now are the 1%, and we can change things. People want a real democracy.
Fair enough. So do you have any thoughts about things like the media coverage and the police tactics and the way that various institutions and figureheads are looking upon the protests?
Well, you know, the quote, like, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you. And I think that's exactly what the phase of the media coverage is in right now. Because before, there was a complete blackout, and the mainstream media didn't want to cover us at all. But now they're forced to cover us because, you know, they're going to look like idiots if they're not covering us at this point because we've grown so much and there's so many actions inspired by what we're doing on Wall Street happening all over the United States and the world. And I think on one hand, the media is dismissive because of the position of power that the media is in and the role that the media has in protecting power and protecting privilege. But I also think on one hand, they don't quite understand what we're doing and it's a little bit over their heads. Yeah, the police, you know, is an authoritarian organization that protects privilege and protects private property and protects the rich. And that's why when people are getting pepper sprayed and beaten up, the peaceful protesters often chant, "Who do you protect? Who do you serve?" Because it's quite clear to anybody who's been out on the streets protesting who the police protect and who they serve. And it's not us. It's not the 99%. But at the same time, it's interesting because when I got arrested on Saturday and on the Brooklyn Bridge, I had some interesting conversations with police officers. And one theme I got from a lot of my conversations was that a lot of the lower ranking police officers feel that, you know, there's not really much they can do. They feel like they have to sort of take whatever orders they're given and not challenge that. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily agree with what they're being told to do. And there was one officer that was higher up that several of us were talking to right before we got arrested, and one younger man asked him if we were going to get arrested, and he said, "Yes, you are." And the young man said, "Well, I guess if I'm going to get arrested for something, this is a good thing to get arrested for." And the officer looked at him, and he nodded, and he said, "I concur." And another woman asked him, "Well, then, so do you agree with what we're protesting about right now?" And he said, "Well, I wouldn't be up here talking to you like this if I didn't." And I think that, you know, historically speaking, successful revolutions and successful social movements have oftentimes had to say to the police, like, either you're against us and either you're for us. And there have been times where the police have sided with social movements and have sided on the side of a revolutionary force. So I think that it's important not to disillusion ourselves with the role of the police work, because it is protecting private property and power, but to understand that there's many police that do sympathize with our cause and to not forget that as this movement grows.
How do you feel about the aims of this protest, the ultimate aims, that is, like, I can imagine it's slightly disorienting to hear that, for example, the Tea Party have jumped on board in sort of giving thumbs up to aspects of the Occupy Wall Street message. And many are happy to agree with the fact that corruption, greed, and the concentration of wealth and power is undemocratic. But having said that, just exemplifying the fact that it's easy for people to agree on certain things that are bad, what about the proposed alternate future? Is there some sort of cohesive idea of how to progress, or is that even not really a useful question to ask? Like, how do you see the future, I guess, and like where this is going?
Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
I can't sit idle anymore. I can't. I just can't sit by anymore and let these atrocities continue.
Well, I think that there are definitely individuals, myself included, who do have cohesive ideas of what we want to see a future society look like. And there's a lot of people at Occupy Wall Street who have visions of what they want to see in terms of coming together and agreeing on a sort of cohesive vision or goal. It doesn't necessarily make sense to do at this point when, you know, we're still growing, we're still gaining power, and where we don't, you know, we can never exact, we might have experiments that we want to try out in terms of living, and that's what we're doing, but we can't really know until we try them, because we've never really lived on a full scale in a participatory democratic society. And that's why it's so difficult to try to imagine that and to try to propose some sort of cohesive idea of what that would be. But I think that's okay. I think that what's important is we know what we're against, and we know what our ideals are in terms of what we're for. You know, we're for democracy, and we're against unnecessary hierarchies. We're for participation, and we're for health care and mutual aid and all these things. We know that. But it doesn't necessarily make sense to come up with a list of demands before we know how much power we have to demand and how much we can demand. I definitely think that there will be specific demands in the future, you know, directed at institutions, financial institutions, possibly directed at government officials, both the local and national level. But I don't necessarily think we're at that point yet in having the power necessary to force at least to comply with our demands.
It's a really good point. It's very, very early days.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I was here protesting today with Occupy Wall Street. A lot of things happened today, but overall it was a good day. We got a lot of attention. I protested in the streets starting at Zuccotti Park. We walked from there up and we went north. Then we turned onto Canal Street. Continued. There was about 5,000 of us today, and it was great. Very peaceful. We were marching in the streets, which has been hard. The NYPD has really kept us on the sidewalk a lot, so to have a sheer numbers to be able to occupy that much of the street was pretty incredible. And we walked until we got to Union Square. Is that all right? Yeah. We walked until we got to Union Square. We occupied here in the square for a moment. We had a general assembly, as true people of democracy do, and we decided, what are we going to do next? And we decided we should march back to Ducati. So we turned around and we headed over this way. I believe that the University Plaza is the street that we were trying to go down. And the police had blocked us with these big mesh fences. And, you know, so we turned and we went down 14th. Then we turned south. At that point, they had blockaded us into, it was on 12th Street, I believe. They blockaded us into a city block. They took these mesh fences on both sides, had us. So we went to one end, and we were asking them, you know.
People came here for a very noble cause, a noble cause. Why are you here? Just for a paycheck?
Who are you fighting for? Like, what is this about? Why are you blocking us in here? They never responded to us. Are we free to leave? No. You know, after that, after about 10 minutes, we decided, let's stand up and get out of the street and stand on the sidewalk so they'll let us go. You know, we'll stand on the sidewalk. We'll get out of the street.
Yeah.
And they said nothing to us. And then about 20 minutes after that, we saw a bunch of police officers, I would say more than 50, come with multiple plastic cuffs. And at that point, I had to turn around, and all of us, you know, had to disperse, and we started running. They were pepper spraying people on both ends of the street. You know, they told us, turn around and go the other way, but when you went the other way, there was a block. Yeah, they would pepper spray you, so there was no way to get out. So I ran as fast as I could. I do not have the ability to get arrested right now. I did happen to get out, but I saw a lot of brutality today by the police, which was unheard of, you know, in the past couple days at least. It seems like they've been pretty good. We bought them pastries and coffee in the morning. We're trying to work with them. You know, we want to occupy. We're not fighting the police. I know that the police have to be there with us, but that is not our objective here. We have maintained that we are peaceful. We are a peaceful group of people.
Making the police the enemy is not going to help.
Right, and right. And I mean, naturally you will get, you know, heated and irritated sometimes because they, you know, try to incite you.
My little nightstick is going to get a workout tonight, hopefully.
But you just have to take a deep breath and say, this is not worth it. This is not what we're fighting. You know, and other, you know, we'll say it to each other. If one person's getting angry, the other one will say, no, relax. And that's been working pretty well. But this mass arrest was really, you know, is intense.
Yeah. What's the worst brutality that you saw today?
Today, I saw a woman about the size of me. I am 4'11". She was not much taller than me. Very thin, blonde girl. Her name's Rachel. I saw her get grabbed like this in the neck by a male police officer and thrown to the ground, the concrete, and then surrounded by other officers, at least five of them on her, one with their knee on her back, holding her down and arresting her. I've never seen something so brutal. It was disgusting to me. There was absolutely no need for that use of force, especially because of her size and her gender. There was no way that she would have been stronger than even one of those male NYPD officers. That was definitely the most brutal thing I saw today. Just profanities came out of my mouth, and I was...
It's crazy that we're being treated like criminals and terrorists only because we want to stop the corruption happening and we want a better future. But one thing that I do have to say is I saw this happen in Spain where the people were beat up and arrested for doing the same thing, occupying the Plaza de Catalunya there. And after the videos came out, a million people came out to the city square, and
right.
I hope that happens.
I hope that happens. You know, one of the other things that we say as protesters, when something bad is happening, you know, some kind of brutality, we say, media, media. And all of the media people, anyone who has, you know, live streams, which the NYPD shut down the live streams of this protest, live streams, you know, video, digital video, photographs. Get the media over here. Let's expose what's going on.
U.S. is a business if you want to understand it. Started by Freemasons who thought it out and planned it. Christians killed the Indians, the rich was expanded. They needed a labor force and said slaves are handled. I read, kept the evidence, since books document. They needed a logo to trade on, though, like any other business type. So was commissioned to create the stars and stripes. Judged by GDPs and Wall Street salaries. But not far from last if you ask about morality. If you think of it, we're not even considered citizens. The fact is we're customers, stuck up under businesses. The business model's name is given as capital. From the same people that bought you slavery in prisons. For hundreds of years, it's the system that we fought. As seen on TV
where the airwaves are bought. But if you act now, you won't be on the net caught. 1% stay rich, that's what we have in the system. They say nothing's free cause we in capitalism. 1% stay rich, that's what we have in the system. They say nothing's free cause we in capitalism. They base democracy in being free on elections. But getting elected's not free, it's expensive. Campaign advertising, the cost can be rising in the billions. The system's craziness is major. So the president is known for a particular behavior. He honed his skills as a business fundraiser. And you're always in beef and hustle for money all the time. In the street, we call that running organized crime.
You may not have heard about this on your local television channel, but on September 17th, this Saturday, approximately 20,000 activists descended on Wall Street and set about, quote-unquote, occupying it. One of their major complaints is something that has become glaringly obvious, the corrupting influence of money on politics. There are really two ways of looking at this, how wealthy the congressmen are and, in turn, how much money it costs in today's dollars just to get elected. On the first question, the answer is very wealthy. There are 261 millionaires in the United States Congress. About 50% of our elected officials are millionaires. Conversely, millionaires in the general population are less than 1%. An incredible disparity. Here's another eye-opening stat. According to CBS News, the median wealth of a House member in 2009 stood at $765,000, while the median wealth for a senator in 2009 was nearly $2.38 million. Yet, even without that obvious disparity between the people that represent us and we the people, you have to ask, how much money does it actually cost just to get elected, whether you're a millionaire or not? The answer is still in the millions. According to the Washington Post, quote, the average price tag for waging a winning campaign is likely to zoom past the $1 million mark this year for the first time, unquote. So it looks like those folks occupying Wall Street may just be on to something.
They say it's not bad, that it's just some bad seeds. At the root, capitalism is legalized greed. They stay in business selling you the philosophy that you could be the next one in a million ideologies. But you don't stay rich by spreading too much wealth around. It's only room for a few to keep the system's health sound. It's a dream. What you've been hearing, it is what it seems. Like Primerica, America is a pyramid scheme. Dr. King wasn't killed for wanting voting equality. He was killed when he went and spoke out about poverty. 1% stay rich, that's what we have in the system. They say nothing's free, cap capitalism. Judged by GDPs and Wall Street salaries, but not far from last if you ask about morality.
I'm checking out of this twisted mythology, the holidays glorifying genocide and robbery. Until the end, I'm a world citizen. Until the end, I'm a world citizen.
Big shout out to Wyatt Earp.
Capitalism can cause worse starvation, extreme inequality, environmental destruction, and other problems. Ask a person who lost their house trying to pay their medical bills if capitalism is right for you.
To see if he could try to articulate and explain, cause he got the way he was from his pain. From the ghetto, he was raised. Tradition and his ways, he knew the ways how the ghetto was maintained. His poverty ways keeps a lot of us in chains. They always talk about the Holocaust and class and history, but why they leave the middle passage out where 50 million was killed is a mystery. The solution, watch Prey rule the revolution. With Huey Newton, truth he's shooting more than Tracy McGrady did in Houston. The rights contradictions are right, right. They say they don't want government health care in their life, but want the courts to decide if they have an abortion or a life. Don't hate yourself in the morning, sleep till noon and see what it's like. It's
irrelevant.
Music I wanna hear is rebellious. I keep making it, they keep on faking it. Music they make based on what the corporation is.
Strange days we're living in, games played for dividends. Main wages given for a day's labor, pitiful. The plain face of capitalistic namesakes and paid capers. Back in statistics, make aims to start crashing the system. Make way before the Atlas exists.
Heroes, these girls! Heroes, these girls!
You will not!
This
man is not justice!
Face all the laws that they're breaking. We need to make a conscious statement. Please heed it, stop dressing for fame's sake. Don't be heathen, stressing and make paper. Free trees, breathe the vapors, and be free from the matrix. Don't eat meat, beans are sacred. Eat greens, eat the basics. Eat beans, don't eat bacon. Keep dreaming and make it. Don't be heeding the fakeness. Don't be scheming for greatness. Just believe and escape this. Believe and escape this.
Tell the whole truth. My city under siege. My military and police are troops. I know where to move. Got the search and the search. My roots like my own. Call the side of my own. I'm a human. Relative with the highest strategized maneuvers. Independent thinkers scared of the slow mover. You can murder me, can't murder revolution. Fred Hampton, optimist, true rebel musician. Voice of the voiceless, I want the world to listen. Solitary can't define this mind I was given. Rest in peace, Howard Zinn, your life was a blessing. People been ignored, constitutions need amending. And I'm a patriot, state and government dissension. Cause we riders and we fighters, bring it in attention.
I don't like the term revolution, I like the term rebellion.
Music I wanna hear is rebellious. I keep making it, they keep on faking it. Music they make based on what the corporation like. Jeremy Scahill, I display truth and will that I die. Like he does at RebelReports.com. Where you can see the evidence.
Why is he being arrested, officer? We're gonna keep walking, we're peaceful. We're peaceful.
But in the US, 1 in 3 women is
you're
raped in the military.
All the other 99%.
Misbehavior with Blackwater is major, it's not a lie. They identify as neo-crusaders.
Why is he being arrested?
Slide by bombs from the sky. US policies torture and justify.
Officer, can you tell me?
You wanna put a stop to that, or do you want a new ride? Pushing Obama ain't the baddest. Just to face hundreds of years of this madness. When I rap, I don't do this for stats. They selling you. You can get whatever you wanna get. What they haven't said when you get it, that you're set up in debt. Having wrecked, I kept making rebel music that objects. They're selling it. Most music you hear is irrelevant. Music I wanna hear is rebellious. I keep making it, they keep on faking it. Music they make based on what the corporation is. Most of the music you hear is negative. Music I wanna hear is intelligent. I keep making it, they keep on faking it. Music they make based on what the corporation is.
Come out of the sort of Julian Benda vision of the world with his book Treason of Intellectuals, where people have to make a choice to their fealty or loyalty to two sets of principles, either privilege and power or justice and truth.
I already got hit once. Just do my job here. Just do my job.
I just want you to step back.
Just do my job.
And the more you make compromises to those whose loyalty is to privilege and power, the more you diminish the capacity to fight for justice and truth.
The whole world is watching! The whole world is watching! The whole world is watching! The whole world is watching!
Each new macing video that's released, each new depiction of the abuses of the police on the First Amendment, the more people will show up here in New York City, and the more waves of occupation will spread across this country.
Yeah.
And you should be proud of that, police, because you are participating in our media publicity campaign. Thank you for attending.
Those who know the Democrats and Republicans are both corrupt. People who organize, the people that take action, the demonstrators, the boycotters, the protesters.
Either privilege and power, we the real freedom fighters.
Yeah, tell them, let's go, come on.
See, we the real freedom fighters, like William Sell, freedom writer. They say just leave all problems up to God. Make sure his name is praised, let them work for the Holocaust. Our Africans and slaves up to us to fight for the cause to be free. I'm the type to fight, the drawbars are obscene. Most people in prison get that path for being poor. The system tries to pull, we fight back in this class war. I'm for freedom, I see H-E-U-E-P, you and me find salutes. Even Martin Luther King said it was time for revolution. Rebel values in the league, stay in mansions. They don't care about people sleeping in the streets. They only care about themselves, they want the crop satisfying food genetically modified. If I kill, it's homicide, but it bothers. The government takes thousands of lives and people's property, and they call that foreign policy. We fight for freedom till we reach an equality. Come on, we the real freedom fighters. We the real freedom fighters. We the real freedom fighters. Yeah. We the real freedom fighters. Wherever you stand, fam, they wanna take your land. They privatize the water, rise and profit off the dams. Iraq to Palestine, profit is the plan. They keep power from the people in their ruined class hands. They keep it concentrated, most minds in elevated. To see it's like nine multinationals created a system where food, water, and land has a price. One night they'll charge you just to breathe the air in your life. See the price of not fighting the elite. We get beat. Water, food, land, street. They tell us they own it, then they tell us to go and vote. We're taking action in the street and not voting's my hope. On the whole, we never vote. We'll get to take a poll. On the force they use to take resources they stole. And the hip hop industry's not run by multinationals. Why you think you never hear no lyrics is rational? We the real freedom fighters. 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 In the crime of 9/11, 3,000 people died. Every day from hunger, 20,000 lose their lives. This is a crime that could be rectified by half the cost of waging a war.
That's crazy.
You can't have peace if you never feed the poor. But they eat raises with the value of greed. To be out for yourself and not people in need. They own the networks and program the mess.
That materialism's the definition of success.
It's the system. Television tells lies to your vision. They say nothing's free because we in capitalism.
Right.
Schools teach geometry, but not how a few rich families stay rich destroys the world's economy. They say rap just reflects what we face. And if you're drowning, you want a mirror to change the situation. If you make an observation, then you have an obligation.
We the real freedom fighters. We the real freedom fighters.
We the real freedom fighters.
We the real freedom fighters.
And what if people took their obsession with weddings, invented that energy for making poverty ends? Be against immigrants coming in from new lands. Beloved immigrant from Krypton, Superman.
If you rob a bank, they call that theft. If you rob a whole country, they call that the IMF.
IMF,
basically the schools are a disgrace. Face the fact is that they ran by the state.
We the real freedom fighters.
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 Babylon needs to fall.
All my people make conscious choices in their daily lives. Choices that affect the planet, sustainability, justice, the possibilities of a better world. We the real freedom fighters.
And the more you make compromises to those whose loyalty is to privilege and power, the more you diminish the capacity to fight for justice and truth. All of the true correctives in human history have come through movements that have never achieved formal political power. Whether it's the anti-slavery movement, or the suffragists, labor movement, the civil rights movement, I think it's not our job to take power. It's our job to remain fast around these moral principles. Karl Popper in The Open Society and Its Enemies writes that the question is not how do we get good people to rule. That's the wrong question. The question is how do we make the powerful afraid of us. And I think that the only hope for American health and survival is if we have militant movements that hold fast around the principles and pressure the power elite to respond.
Right here in the U.S., these conditions are so blatantly ignored by the masses.
We got a president representing a complexion of people. Appearance doesn't measure if your intentions are evil. In other countries, the leaders have been many shades of brown. But a lot were corrupt and never turned it around. In sports and rap, they want to get signed to contracts that own you like slavery. Back then, we had owners. They say if you play hurt and how much you play that night. And if you rap, they control what you say on the mic. You think players are rich? How rich do you have to be to own another human being? Can't believe what I'm saying. Every day on this earth, they tell us market ourselves. The meat market, it hurts. They target people and symptoms about. How they don't want to heal the real condition of poverty. That would be a real solution. And until we do it, they'll never kill the revolution. We keep moving underground, sound, tub, and distribution. A verdad solamente. Todas las palabras son para la gente. Contra los presidentes. I was gonna say, motherfuckers, you ignorant motherfuckers would hear me. But then my teachers would blame my music in class with fear. Spreading truth's the first step on the path to solutions. I pass it to you to see through the illusions.
In capitalism, the competition is sad. Stepping on each other's necks like a
barrel of crabs. We write resumes to sell ourselves as commodities to bosses who pay us just as little as possibly. We're property to them. What the workforce is, they call us human resources.
And we're the raw materials, but we're a bunch of raw materials that don't mean to have any process upon us, don't mean to be made into any product, don't mean to end up being bought by some clients of the university, be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, for human beings.
Free make up evidence on those who have solutions. Free shoot first, weapons blast. They're free to ask questions last. They're free to put chemicals in the food we consume. Free to make weapons and sell them to who they choose. Free to change their minds and shoot at former allies. Free to build prisons and put us in the due time. The authorities stay free, unaccountable for crimes.
This is it. They did absolutely nothing wrong. They did absolutely nothing wrong. They have not killed.
Solutions I pass to you to see through the illusions. They never rectify. Steal man from the natives. They never rectify. The Africans in slavery. They'll never rectify how they cause poverty. Charity won't stop. A deep stab that still bleeds.
From the U.S. to Canada, the new rich are scamming us with blueprints to famish us. This nuisance is scandalous. They say Native reservations were made for the preservation of races, but they were made for segregation and racism. The water's contaminated. They order us vaccinated to slaughter and mass graves. They want to trap and enslave us. The prisons are overpacked and sadistic. They close the gap with statistics. Western prison, 95% of Indians. I guess the system blindly thrives on simians. Bootleg cigarettes and liquor's what we're given. Infected blanket statements in a blank state of living. Who begs for bigger checks, bicker for dividends, while bigots threaten to split us into splintered villages. Pillage us, our lands and graves, saying we stand afraid when we stay in bands and nations. Pray for emancipation, man's elation, while they waive the demands we're making. In treaties, waivers and disclaimers, we ban their hatred while they displace us. But we plan to face them and their disgraces. Sick racists, damn your patrons and the lands you've taken.
It's still a war on the natives, still disgracing. Most don't even know what we facing on the native reservation. Pine Ridge, still the same situation. Mascots still there with.
We did not break any laws.
You will leave those state troopers flooded with their own barbarity. If you can accept it, you will do something that will transform conditions here in Alabama. So I'm not worried this afternoon, however dark it may be, however difficult it may be. I know that it is true, the truth forever on the scaffold. Wrong forever on the throne.
Yes, sir.
That is another part of that great statement. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Yes, behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, yes, keeping watch above his own.
Yeah.
William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed the earth will rise again. The Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow.
Immortal Technique here on Wall Street.
People want to talk about where it started. I want to talk about where it's going.
Where is it going?
I think it's not going anywhere. I think it's going to continue because that's what people want. They want it to go away. They want it to be pacified. They want it to be co-opted, you know? Believe me, there are forces on either side that would love to do so, because when they look at the people, they think anger, voting bloc, consumer base, how can we galvanize these people to push them in our direction or not? And I think what you see here is a genuine amount of cynicism, but not too much. People that say, you know what, I want concrete solutions. I want people held accountable for what they did wrong. I want governments to realize that they're not just going to get a free pass for their horrific record of human rights, even if you're supported by America, because we have deals to exploit your natural resources. I think that that's what people are genuinely concerned with here.
So does this inspire any song, any rap?
All right, I did a rap here before from a song called A Toast to the Dead, right? And here it goes. Here's a toast to the dead. If you don't drink, smoke to the head. For the freedom fighters killed by the feds. For those who died hard in the streets, soaking in red, and died slow asleep in a dream, choking in bed. Here's a toast to the dead for my enemies that are gone. I'm not a coward, so celebrate, and that would be wrong. I pray to God that your soul will come back again, so I can see you in the next life and finish it then. A toast to the dead for criminals burning in hell. I wonder how many presidents are burning as well. Emperors, popes, senators, generals, amputees feeling lucky until they see the vegetables. A toast to the dead for those who are forgotten, written out of history by the corrupted and rotten. Black saints whitewashed during La Reconquista. Thousands of Indio Spaniards used to conquer the Incas. a moment of silence. I need a moment of violence like the 19th century Caribbean islands. Long live those who came before that paved the way for me, the warriors and scientists that came before slavery. And if that last lyric was predictable, take that clairvoyance and apply it to life in the physical. Presumptuous, half-hearted, homunculus. Self-destruction is the power without knowing what the function is.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised.